If you're ready for the word, say amen. Amen. This last week, I found myself wondering about our future. Anytime there's a new administration in a country, people have questions. Amen. And I listened to the things that are going on, and I approved of some things, and I didn't approve of some things, and that's called democracy. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I was, very rarely do you see me watching national news. In the little time that I do spend listening to the propaganda that we call national news, I couldn't help from hearing something that happened this week. And when I did, it struck me with such a powerful impact, the Holy Spirit began to download in my spirit where we are and where we're going. Where we are as a nation, where we are as a church. I will be honest and tell you, as much as I'm a patriot, I'm more concerned about where the church is going than I am where the nation is going. A nation may not always go toward God, but the church of God goes toward God. A nation may not always seek God. Israel didn't. Judah didn't when they were divided nations. But there's a time where they come back together, amen? There's a time when God does things that changes the outlook of what we think we know and what we think we see. Our seeing things is a perception, but it's not reality. The reality of what's happening in our country today is far greater than what we perceive. Now, I didn't ask for your permission to say that. I was telling you that. But I do like your response. It's not being an optimist. It's understanding that everything that occurs, listen to this, this is very important. Everything that occurs has to go through the filtering process of God's okay. Not that he approves all things, but he allows things to happen. You hear? He knows man. But it doesn't affect the plan of God, everything that happens. Boy, four of you really agree with that. How many of you really believe that? Yeah. That when I don't see it happening, God's doing it. When I don't feel it, God's doing it. That's not only as a nation, but it's to us as individuals. We cannot base God and the future and the past and the present, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. We cannot base God on our little 5 pounds of gray matter. We'll bog down real quick. God's greater. He's greater. And he's not in any way caught off guard. He doesn't have a plan B. I even fell for this for a while. And if this is your theology, forgive me, but it's not mine. But I always talked about the perfect plan of God and the permissive plan of God. But I found out that God only has a plan A. I'm either in it or I'm out of it. He's there. And in his omniscience, knowing all things, he knows if he needs to have an Elisha for an Elijah. Because every time there's an Elijah, there's always an Elisha waiting in the wings. Amen? When I was reading the word, and I'll get to what came to me through the media the other day in just a minute. But let me read a scripture to you first in Joshua chapter 1. I'm reading from the New American Standard version of the Bible. I like the NASB a lot. And this is what it says in Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 1, 2, and 3, and 5. And this is what it says as a premise for the word today. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Now, what do I say to do? What have I taught you for 18 years as a church? Do what when you're reading the Word of God? Read slowly. You'll miss some of the great treasures reading too quick. Here was Moses, and he was the baby in the bulrushes. He was the story on the flannel graphs. They don't have that anymore. You can date yourself talking too much. In Sunday school, here was Moses that was drawn out of the water, put in the home of Pharaoh by his own daughter, by the hand of God. How many believes that was God's will? Now, here, come on, preach with me a little bit. How many believe it's God's plan? Israel was in captivity. They were in this area called Goshen in the northern area, in this area of Egypt where shepherds were, because they really didn't want to be around shepherds. They provided meat for them, but they thought they were so low class. Joseph was gone. Pharaoh had died several, probably, 400 years. Now they were in captivity, and it was getting worse. And God saw the captivity of the nation, and God called a man to free them. How many wants to be free from captivity? How many believes captivity is wrong? It is wrong. It's been wrong in every nation, in every tongue, in every way it's ever happened. However it happens, it's wrong. And they were crying out to God. And God takes this man that he brings up that should have been put to death as a child because of the edict. And he wasn't. He was spared. And he grew up in the home of Pharaoh. He learned the language. He was taught brilliantly by the best teachers. He had everything you could want as a prince of his daughter, Pharaoh's daughter. And then at a particular time in his life, this understanding of who he was began to come into Moses. And he realized that even though he was raised in the house of Pharaoh, he lived in the world, he was a child of God, or he was one of the Hebrews that was in captivity. And all of a sudden, this urging started coming up in this man. And so he did like everyone does. He took things into his own hands. Now, I know you've never done that before. I know you've never helped God out just a little bit. I've been pretty guilty of that. And I found out every time I helped God out, I wished I hadn't. Matter of timing. What have I taught you? The most important thing in the world. What timing is more important than the actual event? It's more important than what you're asking God for, his timing. In God's time, he brings Moses up. And then he uses Moses after a 40-year lapse away from Pharaoh, coming back to a new Pharaoh, and he leads him to lead the nation out of captivity. And he did a marvelous job. Can you imagine? I mean, you can't even have a church of any size, and if you've changed the color on the walls, you got people quitting and leaving. And how would you like to have a couple million opinions? It's one of the things God spoke to me about a few months ago. He said, I want you to lose something. I said, what? He said, your opinion. Okay. Now, he told me that. I'm not telling you that. He led them through a series of 10 plagues, the last one being the death angel. Oh, I love the story of the death angel. I don't like death, but I love the story of the blood. I love the story that I've told you so many times about, I guess it's a made-up story, but it probably happened, about the little boy. Remember that story? Midnight was coming. They had slain the year-old lamb, which is not little. That's a nice-sized animal. They had skinned it and roasted the meat, and the family was eating in anticipation. They were dressed and packed and ready to go, knowing that at midnight the death angel was going to come through the land by the word of God through Moses. And anyone that didn't have the blood of that lamb dipped in hyssop, this bush painted over their door, that the firstborn of that home, the firstborn dog, cat, man, woman, boy, girl, the firstborn would die. The blood covered them. It was a covenant that God was starting with Israel. He began a blood covenant with Israel while they were in captivity to get them out of captivity. Does that ring a bell at all with you about where you are? When you were still in sin, Jesus made a blood covenant for you. How many appreciates the blood covenant? My goodness. The little boy was getting antsy. He was worried because he was the firstborn, young family. It was his neck on the line, and he was concerned. And nearing midnight hour, he said to his father, Dad, do me a favor. They said as long as the blood was over the threshold, we were all right. Go outside and just check. And his father went outside for him and came back and said, son, the blood's still there. Woo! Now, I don't know if that hit you like it did me, but the blood's still there today. The blood of Jesus Christ is there today for you and for I. There's nothing that can cross. There's no death that can enter past or breach the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest messages and series of messages on the blood of Jesus Christ is sitting in this room. Dr. Mike Eklund, we'll have to have him do that sometime, but it's powerful. This is who Moses was. He led them out. He's the one that found water for 2.5-3 million people. He's the one that prayed in the covenant promise of the cloud that was fiery at night and rained down a perfect 72 degrees at night in a freezing desert and a nice 72 in the daytime when it was 100 outside. Incredible leading of God. This is that man. He did wonderful things. He led them to the brink of the promise. And when he led them to the brink of the promise, his time had come to an end. I can tell you there are men in my life and men that I know and men that I've looked up to and women as well that God has used in that Moses place, in that leadership place in my life. And the time comes when they pass. I was just talking about the great Dr. Marvin Gorman. 5 or 6 times on Sunday in New Orleans for 42 years, a church of over 6,000, somewhere between 6 and 10,000, preached 5 or 6 times on Sunday, Miracle Monday night, Wednesday night, and an hour-long nation. His office was right upstairs here for 7 years. He was the father of this house. He preached his last message on earth right here in this church on a Sunday night, went to New Orleans with his daughters and his daughter and sons. Went into the hospital 2 days later. The following week, I was in New Orleans preaching his funeral. I couldn't believe it. When I walked down the aisle of that great church and that great pastor and his wife, who are friends of mine that we prayed for, their home burnt 3 weeks ago, and God's taking care of them. But when I walked into that great church and walked down and looked at Pop Gorman, Dr. Marvin Gorman in that casket, my heart broke. I felt like a kid on a desert island. God, what am I going to do? God, that man was everything to me. He was the Moses of my life. I had a Philip Wanamaker in my life that was the Moses in my life. I've had others, some alive still and some gone. But there's a time when we do what God's called us to do and he carries us out. My father's gone. My father-in-law, that great pastor, is gone. And these men go, and the Bible says, and it came about that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, he died. What are we going to do? Our hope, our leadership, the anointing of God, the incredible miracles of God, dead because he's a man. What are we going to do? And then you read the word of God that says, the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. Listen to me. God speaking to Joshua's today. That was a lot better than your response. Somebody say amen, whether you believe it or not. I'll try to prove it in the next few minutes. God's raising up Joshua's in our land today. Moses took them to the edge of the promise, to the Jordan. They created, by God's direction, a covenant called circumcision that separated them from everyone else. It was a covenant between man and God. When David went to fight Goliath, he did not refer to him as Goliath. He said, that uncircumcised giant. What he was saying was, that big mouth that doesn't have covenant with God. There's a lot of the enemy's big mouth that doesn't have covenant with God, saying a lot of big threats today, but if they don't have covenant with God, greater is he that's in me and you than he that's in the world. Can somebody say amen to that? Then the word of God says this in verse 2. He's talking to Joshua now. Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise and listen to me. Oh, please listen to me. Holy Ghost, let them listen to this word right now. There is an arising happening in our nation. It is not what it appears. This is greater than what you think and what you see or what you hear. What's happening today is an arising of Joshua's in our land today. I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit told me this, or I wouldn't have the guts, the intestinal fortitude to stand up here and to say what I'm saying. But I am saying it because I know the voice of God, and God's calling up Elijah's today. He's calling up Elisha's today. He's calling up Joshua's today. The Bible says this. Moses, this is God speaking to him. Moses, my servant's dead. He did what he led us to the promise, right to the Jordan. Now arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people. This is what God spoke to me today. Listen to me. He's pouring out new anointings. He's opening the door to new callings. He's speaking to people's lives. And he's telling them, this is your day. This is your time. Now arise. Stand up. That doesn't mean take over. That means stand up. Moses, my servant's dead, so now arise. And with that arising, he said, cross the Jordan. He's saying this, we are at the brink of the promises of God. We're standing on the brink of the promises of God right now. And God's saying, I'm raising people up. And let me just tell you this, he's raising entire churches up, and this is one of them. We're not better than, but we seek the Holy Spirit. We seek the presence of God. We haven't got a political bone, a racial bone, a bias bone in this house. If there is, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We are children of the Most High God. There's no barrier between us and them. There's no such thing. So he's saying to all these different diverse people in this nation called Israel, lead them across Jordan into the promise. Cross this Jordan. Now, it happened to be flood stage at the time, and I've been in Jordan when it's not, and it's beautiful emerald green. I've baptized people in Jordan. I've had those little fish eat on my feet. If you've ever been there, you'll know what I'm talking about. They're about that big, and first you're worried. And then it kind of feels good after a while. But he didn't say cross by yourself. He said, you and these people. You and all this people. All? Now let me tell you what that means. In Hebrew, when you look up that word all, here's what it means in English. All. All. Everyone. So we're not going to leave anybody out here today. We're not going to leave anybody out online. If you're in Pakistan or in Paris, Texas, I don't care where you are, we're not leaving anyone out. Amen. And I want you to lead them to the land which I'm giving them. Now this is God saying to Moses, I have given them the land. He didn't say, you go over there and conquer it. He said this, go. You're going to have giants in the land. You're going to have obstacles in the land. You're going to have things that come against you that tell you you can't. But with God, you can. If you believe that, say amen. I hope you internalize this word today. I hope you take this personally. Because I've been accused of that. Sometimes people say, well, you're just taking it personally. But I really hope you just take this personally today. I hope the voice of God speaks to you today and tells you, you're not here by accident, you're here by the providence of God. Well, this is my church, so what? It wasn't 50 years ago. We only been here 18. But God knew this morning. Amen? He said, I've given them this land. And then he says this in verse 3, every place on which the sole of your feet steps, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. My goodness. God had a promise. He used Moses to bring them to the promise. Now he's speaking to Joshua. Any of you Messianic Jews in here, I was raised with Jewish blood. My grandfather was completely full-blooded Jewish. My father was persecuted as a child. I know in Kentucky, I know the whole scene. I've got the blood in me, and that's great. It's not some make-believe or even something I wanted. It just happened because I was born into this family. But I know this, that with that promise in me, with the word of God in me, with that understanding in me, I believe that the God of Moses was still the same God I serve today. I just believe he was. He said this, every place on which the sole of your foot steps, I've given it to you. I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week and told me something that's so counter to the media. But if you want the real truth, just go home and watch the news this afternoon. You'll get they cannot lie. They cannot lie. You know, I told this story of a friend of mine at one time, told me something was just crazy. I said, where in the world do you hear that? And this friend of mine said, well, Google, and you know they can't lie on Google. Okay. Well, I'm telling you something not from Google. I'm telling you as a printout of the Word of God that the scripture, it's right here too. Every place on which the sole of your feet steps, I've given to you. I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said he's given America back to the church. Man, I wish that was true. No, don't get me wrong, it is. For those of you that thought that right there. I believe that it's not what we see, it's not what we think, but it's who God is in his plan. Because I don't believe the enemy can alter the plan of God regardless how big or loud they get. I don't care how much the enemy thinks that they can alter the plan of God or control the plan. This is nothing new. I believe the God we serve has a plan that not one fleck of that plan is going to be changed, but it's going to be carried out to the perfection of the divine will of God. And I believe America's in it. Oh, we're of the will of God. Are we really? Or let me just ask you this. Or is the enemy, is the evil people in America playing into the hands of God? I had a whole different view of things this week. Say, what are you, a Republican? I ain't a Republican. I am not a Republican, and I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a socialist or a communist. I have found out that we're in the last days, and I'm a child of the Most High God. That's what I am today. He goes down to verse 5. Here's the part that you've got to understand and you've got to take into your spirit. That's the only time I'll use that rarely. If you are a child of God, if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, if you've asked him to save your soul, that's all you had to ask, and he did. If you're a child of God today, then these promises of God are yours. You don't have to have any special education. You don't have to audition. It comes with the blood covenant of Jesus Christ to the believer. And the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 5, no one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. I'm not preaching some kind of feel good, you're going to get a new house, a new car. I'm talking about nobody's going to be able to take away what you've got in you, ever. Nobody's going to be able to remove the power, the peace, the joy. Does anybody in here have the joy of the Holy Spirit in your life? My dear Lord. Has anybody got the peace of God that you never had before you knew Jesus in here? And no one, not even the national media, that's where you get in trouble putting that in the scripture. No one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. And he said this. Here's what I want you to take personal. Just listen to this. As I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Amen. I will not fail you or forsake you. There's this territory called trust. That's why I tell you to tithe. Pastor, I don't have the money to tithe. You haven't got the money not to tithe. Just listen, it's not about money. It's about trust. There's this thing called trust. I'll be with you and I will not fail you or forsake you. You have to go to a lion's den to see the lion's mouth shut. Do you hear me? It might be rough getting there, but it's sure sweet when a lion becomes a pillow. And that actually happened. You've got to go to a fiery furnace to see the fourth man. Dr. Tim Hill, the bishop of the Church of God in Cleveland, Tennessee, will be here in April preaching. I called Dr. Hill the other day. I said, Tim, listen to this. And I began to tell him what I had. And he said, I needed this. I really needed this to refresh me because I've listened to the media. We've all heard what's going on. We're seeing what's going on. And it's a travesty. It's a farce. And things are happening or shouldn't be happening. And I just needed this word. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I need this word too. And I need to understand that Jesus said, as I've been with Moses, I'll be with you. And I will be with you. I will not fail you or nor will I forsake you. That take personally. I want you to have such a joy in your spirit. I want you to have such a joy in your presence. I want you to become more devoted to being in this house. Oh, this is a little ad to try to get people in church. Are you kidding? I'm telling you about an opportunity that you'll only find in the doors of this house, and you need to be here to find them. And listen to me. I want you to know the numbers in this house are growing. More people are coming. More people are being hungry for God. There's more souls being saved. There's more people being delivered. There's more power of the Holy Spirit in this house than we've had in days past because we are at the brink of the Jordan and God is calling the Joshuas to stand up. And it's happening right here. This morning while I was in my office, one of my sons in the faith, I'm called Uncle Sam by him, Aaron Minnick, pastors the Great River of Life in Nashville, Johnny Minnick's son. They're building a beautiful new facility in a temporary place. Call me. Uncle Sam, I just need to hear your voice. And I begin to share this with him that I'm going to share with you in a minute. I told him, son, listen, this isn't a bad time. This is a good time. This is not like you think it is. This isn't they and us and that. This is God in the last days. You see, here's what I believe. I believe God is really, not just figuratively, I believe God is preparing the bride of Christ, which are churches, for the return of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. And I believe the message of the church today is this. You know what I sung? You know what we sung in there? We sing, once in a while, the Holy Spirit gives me a song. Here's what we sung. I have heard the joyous sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Send the tiding all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That was in my heart today because I believe the message of the world today is Jesus saves. He breaks us out of captivity. He takes us out of the twisted life of the sin that we've all come from and gives us hope and joy. He brings us across the Jordans of our life. We don't look back to Egypt. They did, but God fixed that. No one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not desert you nor abandon you. I'm not going to forsake you. Listen to that. My word. While I was reading this word today, I heard this word come up this week. I'm not going to read my notes. I'm going to talk about them, okay? I heard this word come up on television. I'd never heard it. Now, you know, my background's in law enforcement. Many, many years ago when people don't even recognize me the way I looked then. I was at a Walmart one day and they wouldn't see an ID and I showed them this. And that girl looked at me and she goes, "Boy, that's been a while back, hasn't it?" I said, "Lady, cash the check." I didn't, but I thought that. Might as well have. But all my years in that background that God's given me, all the years in business I've heard, and all the years I've heard in criminal courts and law, and I never heard this word used ever, except one other time in my entire life. But this week, they're impeaching a president after he's out of office, which is against our Constitution, but that's what's going on. But I wonder, what's the charge? And then I heard they're threatening to charge Senator Hawley and Senator, I heard it, just let me say it, Senator Cruz, who happened to be one of Pastor Dave's students young when he was a young man and a dear friend of his. And they're threatening him with the same criminal charges. And when this word hit me, I went, oh, dear God. Insurrection. God. The only time I've ever heard or read of insurrection was at the trial of Christ. There's a famous attorney in this area called D. Wampler who's written some great books, and he wrote a book called The Trial of Christ. D's a friend of mine. He sent me that book. And when you look at the trial of Christ, it was nothing more than a farce. It was a joke. Insurrection against the government. Jesus was tried with false charges, false accusations, not a one of them true. The only truth about Jesus was that he came to die for the lost. And he didn't come under the control of man. The plan of God included insurrection. That wasn't something God just had to put up with. He needed insurrection, although it was false. When I saw that today, this week, and listened, presidents being charged with insurrection. Our two U.S. senators are being charged, are threatened to be charged with insurrection. Think about it. When I heard that word, not only was I stunned, but very quickly the Holy Spirit brought to my mind the last time that I heard it, and it was at the trial of Jesus. The same charge. Needless to say, I was amazed when I heard it. And I thought, God, what a choice of words for our media to use. How in the world did they come up with the same word that was used against Jesus? But God, you're in control. Your plan is being fulfilled. You're moving us toward the coming of Jesus Christ. And the Bible doesn't say for the world, not for the church, but the Bible doesn't say for the world that things are going to get great and wonderful and then Jesus is going to come back. He said it's going to be a time like we've never seen. Sin's going to be rampant. What's evil is going to be called good. What's good is going to be called evil. If you're a good guy, you're going to be a bad guy to the world. If you're a bad guy, you're going to be a good guy to the world. Things that shouldn't be are going to happen. And when I saw this and began to listen to this, and I understand that insurrection was brought against our former president because of the attack on the Capitol, I remember that I have a very close friend that was there and actually witnessed the insurrection people being bussed in that weren't part of that crowd. They were let out of buses, and the door was open to the Capitol. Had nothing to do with our president, had nothing to do with anything else except they were going to raid the Capitol, and he got the blame for it. Jesus got the blame for things he never did. They called it insurrection. So what's the purpose, God? Have you ever asked God, God, what's the purpose of this in my life? Four of you have, yeah. How many have ever said, God, what's the purpose? I don't get it. What benefit is this? What good is it? There's nothing good about a crucifixion, but it takes insurrection to create a crucifixion. Listen to the plan of God. Listen to this. Of all the world's news, why would they pick that word? Why would they choose it? And then the Holy Spirit said, or did they? Did they choose it or did I choose it? Did they say insurrection or did I put it in their heart to say insurrection? You say, you're making something out of nothing. No, I'm not. Because I begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to me so strongly. And he began to say that in the same time as they rejected Jesus at Pilate's court, the same group that's come after our former president and these senators, they're not doing what they think's right. They're playing into the hands of God. I'm not talking about politics. You've got to get your eyes off of politics. We're not living in a day of political activity. We're living in the day of the return of Jesus Christ. We're living in the day of the preparing of the church of God. We're living in a time where God is getting individuals ready and full and calling them with anointings and powers they've never known in their life before. There's an outpouring of God that's coming in our land, and it hasn't got a thing in the world to do with politics. That's just the pony in the cart it's riding in on. This is the plan of God being unfolded in the world today. He said, the governor officials that thought they could control God when Jesus was crucified for insurrection was there. The trial was a joke. This friend of mine that was in Washington on the court there walked up, a friend of his walked up in his viewing, in his hearing, one of the Secret Service Capitol police and said, "What's going on here?" It was a surprise to everyone. And that Secret Service man said, "This is the biggest sham I've ever been involved in my life. We have no business being here." But the media said something else. See, the people knew that Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. They knew he fed the 5,000 men plus their wives and children and the 4,000 men. They knew, the disciples knew he was the sea walker. They saw the blind healed. They saw the dead raised. That widow in Nain saw her son come up off of a dead pile of lumber they were carrying him on and wake up to life again. Listen to me. They knew the truth. Just like we know today, but we needed an insurrection. At that very instant when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, at that very moment, my glorious Savior began to minister to me these words. You want to hear them? Say amen. Amen. They had to have an insurrection for there to be a crucifixion. There had to be a crucifixion for there to be a death. There's going to be political death in the coming year. I'm not talking about physical. I'm not talking about people getting killed. Listen, the rumors are, haven't you been broke by rumors yet? There had to be an insurrection in the time of Jesus for there to be a crucifixion. There had to be a crucifixion for there to be a death. In our world we're living in today, there has to be an insurrection. There has to be false charges against the church. Let me just tell you, these new laws and new ways and these new executive orders are primarily going to be coming against the holiness of God. When an executive order says that if you're 16 years old, you can choose what dressing room you're going in, I would say a lot of kids are going to be pulled out of school. When it removes the transgender question, you say you're homophobic. Are you kidding me? I love everyone. I'm just saying, God, bring people to the truth of understanding. A man's a man, a woman's a woman. That's all. Nothing more. I love the person. There had to be a crucifixion for there to be a death. There had to be a death for there to be a resurrection. There had to be a resurrection to birth the church. These are the words the Holy Spirit gave me. There had to be a resurrection to birth the church. And there had to be the birthing of the church to bring the giving of the Holy Ghost. Let me read it again as I downloaded it in my spirit. There had to be an insurrection to bring the crucifixion. There had to be a crucifixion for there to be a death. There had to be a death for there to be a resurrection. You see, up to this point right now, the disciples saw it. It's all over. They won, we lost. They're bigger, we're littler. They're mightier, we're smaller. They forgot to figure in the plan of God. And in America today, and the media and everything I'm hearing is forgetting to filter in the plan of Jesus Christ. But that plan is still well in way and on tack. Nothing's changed it. And after that resurrection, there had to be a resurrection to birth the church. And there had to be the birthing of the church for the giving of the Holy Spirit. You see, in all denominations, I don't care what there's one non-negotiable fact, and I want you to listen to this. In all of theology, if you check, it rings true through every denomination, every religious Christian sect, every belief worldwide, and it remains true today that the church was birthed out of the resurrection of Jesus and built on the foundation of Pentecost. That's just a fact. Well, I don't know if I agree with it. It doesn't matter. It's a fact. I hope you do. I hope you read the word. The church was birthed out of the resurrection. When he rose, church began. It was Jesus saying, this is what you have to have. In fact, he says, as we grow closer to the end of time, neglect not the assembling. That's King James. It says, be in church. And it was built on the foundation of Pentecost. It was after the giving of the Holy Spirit in that room, in the upper room with 120 people. I've stood in that place, and I still feel the remnants of the presence of God. And I can tell you that's the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, that you can't separate Jesus from the Holy Spirit, or God from the Holy Spirit. If you have God, you've got the Holy Ghost. If you've got Jesus, you've got the Holy Ghost. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got Jesus. But I'm just telling you, when you accepted him as your Savior, he became a resident in your life, and he wants to be active in your life more than ever before. So what are you saying, Pastor, with all of this? There's a sound of insurrection in our land today. I'm hearing it for the first time. Couldn't believe the charges. And there appears to be the crucifixion of righteous values in our land today. It looks like the death of one nation under God in our land today. But remember, there was a third day. Yes. You remember that? Yes. On the third day, there was a third day, and we're about to experience that resurrection power. There's a resurrection at hand right now in what you think may be a different direction for our land. Not just for our land, but for the world. There's a rebirthing of the church going on right now. You can see it here. You can feel the presence of God. Aaron Minnick this morning, when I prayed with him, said the same thing. He said, you know, there's churches that are embracing the Holy Spirit and churches that are separating. And I've got a friend that's got a great church down here, and he and I together decided to embrace the Holy Spirit. And he said, we're seeing it in our church. And I said, son, you haven't even begun to see what he's going to do. There's a rebirthing of this glorious church. There's a renewing of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit of God. Because it takes a resurrection to have a crucifixion. It takes a crucifixion to bring about death. It takes a death to bring a resurrection. It takes the resurrection to rebirth the church. And it takes the rebirthing of the church to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I'm going to tell you. I want you to listen to me very closely now. You've been chosen by God for this generation. You're here, not by accident. You're here by the prominence of God, by the divine will of God. You've been chosen to live in the fulfilling of Joel's prophecy right now. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's everyone. See, you've got to get your eyes off of politics. What's happening is not politics right now, I'm telling you. Well, it really, don't argue the fact, it's not. It's bigger than that. It isn't at all about who won or who lost. It's not about a political party, not about a government. This is Satan once again playing into the hands of an almighty God. The rebirthing of Pentecost is what's happening. And the soon return of the first one they called an insurrectionist. We're here again for a curtain call before the end of time. A chance for people to be saved. A chance for people to know Christ. You need to realter your mission in life, your everyday activities, to tell someone that Jesus saves. You need to change your message to one thing, that Jesus Christ say, if he saves to the uttermost. He cleanses, he changes. He took a demonic with a legion of demons in him and turned him into an evangelist over the Decapolis, over 10 cities. He took a prostitute and made her an evangelist. He took a woman that was full of devils and made her one of the closest disciples, called Mary Magdalene, there is. And he took a bunch of doubting men that wasn't sure where they stood and turned into them into the pillars of God, that their thrones are setting around the throne of God today because of the rebirthing of the power of Pentecost, of Holy Ghost in their lives. This church will stand in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We'll grow in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and we'll see God do things in our lives. Anointings are being poured out now. What's the two words? Put them on the board, Brian, would you? That God gave me. Two powerful words that God gave me for this place. Anticipation and expectancy. I told Aaron that today. I said, Aaron, when you walk in, during your worship time, don't be surprised at all if somebody comes up and says, Pastor, I was healed while I was in there. Anticipation and expectancy. God heals. God's doing things as we pray. He's answering prayers. There's new anointings being poured out. Did you talk to Hunter today, Mark? Yesterday, last night? Let me just tell you about Hunter Lundy, who's a member of this church, a great attorney in Lake Charles, Louisiana, preached in this church, going to preach today, and he got sick. Well, let me tell you what happened. He got sick and went to the hospital. They said, you have double pneumonia and embolism. I looked that up, blood clots in the lungs. And you have COVID-19. At his age, they're saying, you're in trouble, boy. Bad trouble. They put him in the hospital. We begin to pray. Mark and I are very close to him. We called. We talked to him. I came Wednesday night, and as soon as service is over, we cut those cameras off. And no offense to you all out there, I want you to know, but we began to pray. Remember? Gathered you in. We prayed on a Wednesday night. There were people around the country praying. His family's praying. But we joined in on it. And we prayed. Now, let me just tell you something. The doctors told him, correct me if I'm wrong, the doctors told him at least 8 days, maybe 10, maybe weeks, you're going to be in the hospital. He didn't give him a good outlook. He gave him a negative outlook, and we begin to pray. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit's outpouring is doing right now in this room. Right now, in the name of Jesus, stretch your hands right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, for every need that's in this house, God, this is no man, this is no joke, this is no kind of activities other than what you're doing. Holy Spirit, begin to move and heal and help and provide. And God, give peace and joy and comfort and assurance that I have touched them right now. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over every need. And somebody say, amen, it's done. We prayed for Hunter Wednesday night, Friday afternoon. I was in a restaurant with my sister and Dr. Finn. The phone rang. Hunter, he's calling me from the hospital. He's going to be in there 10 days, maybe 3 weeks. There's a chance we could, oh God, don't let Hunter die. We love Hunter. And I called him and said, hello. He goes, I'm at home. Wait. The old me, you better get back over to the hospital right now. There's a new me. You got a new preacher, folks. You got a new pastor from the other day when I saw that. And I saw where nothing can mess with the plan of God. When I saw the future of this church, I saw the future of every church that clings to God and the power of the Holy Spirit. I said, what? He said, yeah, the doctor walked in a while ago and said, you're all right, and go home. Just rest a week. I said, are you going to? He goes, I think I will. After they poke and prod on you in the hospital, you need a week off just to sleep. What am I saying? I'm telling you what I'm preaching. You all were part of it. We were part of the prayer. And that prayer was answered. And a man that had blood clots in his lungs, that had double pneumonia, that had COVID-19, the next day and a half, a doctor walks in and goes, you're okay, go home. They don't let you out anymore when you're still. They sure don't let, blood clots don't heal up in 12 or 14 hours, except for one thing, the power of the covenant of Jesus Christ. When he said, arise and go, anointings are going to be poured out now. People are saying yes to the callings with a dedication unlike any time in their life. The Holy Spirit is manifesting healing, deliverances as we worship Jesus. Hunter is proof of it. I'm telling you today, my friends, it's not a day to look down. Today is to look up. Today is a day to look forward. Today is a day of anticipation. Today is a day of expectancy. Today is a day for a child of God to stand on his feet and not look at politics or governments, but look to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And watch what he does. I'm preaching a message to you that's not some kind of a romper room, yay Jesus kind of a message. I'm telling you what he told me, and I'm telling you, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. This isn't about a man, this is about God. The opportunity's yours. The commitment level is yours. The decision making is yours. You can decide to opt in or opt out. God will never force you, but if you say yes to Jesus, you don't have to create a call. You don't have to create an anointing. All you have to do is say yes. And watch what God does. In the most turbulent, unpredictable, hopeless times, the word of God came. The power of God came. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I thought I had it right here. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is what the word of God says. And this is a word that the Holy Spirit drew to me. Brian, you can get it up there quicker than I can. I've got it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is what the script said. But you shall receive power when. Somebody say when. I don't know why that word hit me so strong from God. But he said, look at the word just before the Holy Spirit. It says, you shall receive when. That's a now statement. That's a right now. It doesn't say limited terminal for a week anointing. It says, you shall receive power. You got it. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem. What are we witnessing about? I've heard the glorious sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tiding, there it is, all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I don't know how to witness. Tell him about you. You're the best example of being lost to found there is. Your little story is real. But you will receive power when? Somebody say when. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of this earth. And that's where we are from Judea. Everywhere. A witness that Jesus saves. Stand to your feet with me.